Acts 4. We're going to begin with the verses 36 and 37. It says, "And Joses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." We've had quite a bit to fit in this morning. We'll endeavour to bring the message to you just as quickly as we can. The theme is an excellent role model for every Christian. And I think that the role model we have here is especially needed and especially relevant in the times in which we live. I want to speak to you for a few minutes today about encouragement. Especially, we want to speak about one in the New Testament church who was known for his encouragement, and that is the man Barnabas that we have read of here in this passage. That certainly was one of the chief characteristics of his life. Barnabas wasn't a criticizer. He wasn't a dictator. He wasn't a complainer. Barnabas was an encourager. And what I want to emphasize this morning is that so should we be, every child of God. The original name that was given to him at his birth was Joses. That's not so well known, or that's not the name that he's so well known by. Joses is the shortened form of the name Joseph. It's just like using the name Dave or Sam or Bill. The shortened form of the name Joses. Barnabas was the name that was given to him by the apostles, and it means the son of consolation or the son of exhortation. Barnabas had been such an encouragement to the early church. He had been such an encouragement to individual Christians that they gave him a name that matched his life. You think of the title Comforter. It's a title of the Holy Ghost. The idea of that word Comforter is one that comes alongside to help. And the name Barnabas comes from the same word family. Barnabas was the sort of man who came alongside others to help them. And there's many examples of that in the New Testament scriptures. In fact, every time you read of Barnabas in the Acts of the Apostles, he's encouraging someone on in the things of God. So what an example he is. Here, undoubtedly, is an excellent role model for every Christian, especially in these challenging, discouraging days in which we live. So let me mention to you as quickly as we can some ways that Barnabas encouraged the early church. You see here in these verses that we've just read, chapter 4, verses 36 and 37, he encouraged in finances. Barnabas was a wealthy man. He came from a wealthy background. He owned a wee bit of land. The land that he owned was probably in the island of Cyprus. Do you remember that his sister owned a very large house? You read about that in Acts chapter 12. It was in Barnabas' sister's house that the great prayer meeting for Peter took place. In Acts chapter 12, her home was in Jerusalem. She had a servant. There was gates to the house and so forth. So those are all indications. Barnabas came from a well-to-do family, a well-to-do background. But what he did, what we read here, is he sold his land. He sold all of it, and he gave all the money to encourage the church, to encourage the poor. We've been hearing a little bit this morning about the needs of the poor. So Barnabas encouraged the church and the Lord's people in his finances. There's a lady, Christian lady, well known in our church circles a few years ago, from the Lisburn area down that direction. She did something similar to Barnabas. Her husband had died. She sold the farm, and she gave all the money away to encourage the saints, to support the church, the missionary work of the church. So the sort of thing we're reading of here in Acts chapter 4 still happens in the days in which we live. There are still those in the church that want to encourage the work of God with their finances. You think of Boaz, the main male character in the book of Ruth. The Bible specifically says of Boaz, he was a mighty man of wealth, probably the wealthiest man in that whole Bethlehem region at that particular time. And he instructed his reapers out there in the harvest field to let a few handfuls on purpose fall in the field for Ruth to encourage her in her work. And that's a good example. I wonder if you've ever done that. Dropped a few handfuls of on purpose, discreetly, a generous gift here and there to help some needy soul. You think of what Paul wrote to the Ephesian believers. He said, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So I want you to think of that. Again, in the context of the appeal that has been made to help the needy, you think of the question, as you consider what Paul said there to the Ephesian believers, why do you work? Why do you have employment? Why do you earn money? Most people in answering that question would say it's to amass wealth. But the New Testament teaches that we work, we have employment, so as to help others. Here's a Christian ministry, a Christian duty. It's to share that money, to share that finance, that substance with those who are in need. So I want you to think of that. I urge you, use your finance to encourage others, especially if you've been blessed with this world's goods. Think of some young person maybe studying at Bible college, some missionary, some minister at home or still in the field, some needy souls, and encourage them with a little finance, just as Barnabas did those many years ago. If you turn over a few pages to chapter 9, look there in the middle of the chapter. Look at verses 26 and 27. Here you see Barnabas encouraging in fellowship. Look what it says, verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of the Lord Jesus. So Barnabas is encouraging here in fellowship. Paul, some time after his conversion, had returned to Jerusalem, but he was in a very difficult position because the Jews didn't want him because of his conversion to Christ, to Christianity. But the church didn't want him either because they were all afraid of him. They didn't believe that he was saved. They thought it was all a lie, a trick, that he was an infiltrator trying to infiltrate into the ranks of the church. So nobody in the church in Jerusalem at that time wanted to know Paul or wanted to identify with him, except for Barnabas. Barnabas went against the flow because when no one else wanted anything to do with Paul, Barnabas encouraged him, especially into the fellowship of the church. And those verses that we've read tell you how he did that. Barnabas took Paul's side. He spoke up. He spoke in Paul's favor. He recommended Paul to the church. He recommended him, told the apostles what had happened in Paul's life, especially on the road to Damascus. So just think of that. And let me ask you, did you ever encourage new people into the church, new believers, or new people into the fellowship of the church? Could it be that someone didn't come back to the meetings, didn't come back to church, someone stopped attending the meetings because they got no encouragement, that they were ignored, nobody spoke to them, nobody made them feel welcome? I want you just to think of what actually happened to Paul there, ignored by the entire church, except for one man. So he stands out, not just in his encouragement with regard to finances, he stands out in his encouragement with regard to fellowship as well. The third area that I'll mention, if I can ask you to turn over a little further into the book of Acts, you'll find another reference to Barnabas in chapter 15. And this time it's verses 37 and 38. It says, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. So here he's encouraging in failure. Remember that Mark was Barnabas' nephew, so there's a family connection, there's a blood relationship. When Paul was writing to the Colossians, he described Mark, or Marcus as he called him there, as sister son to Barnabas. So Marcus, his mother, was Barnabas' sister. And Mark, as a young believer, had failed. He had been given a great opportunity to go to the mission field, to go on a missionary journey with the Apostle Paul. But he let them down. He returned home from the mission field, returned home as a failure, as a deserter, as a quitter. He had been a disappointment to himself, and he had been a disappointment to the whole church at that time. But now here, years later, Paul and Barnabas are planning their second missionary journey. And we find Barnabas, true to form, he's encouraging the failure. He's encouraging Mark to go with them again. Paul wasn't happy. He didn't think it was a good idea. And the division, the contention between these two great men of God, Paul and Barnabas, was so great at the time that they broke up. They parted their company. But Barnabas stood by Mark and encouraged the young man at that particular time. And he encouraged him back into the work, back into the missionary cause of the church. If you study the scriptures, the New Testament, a little further, Paul came to see that what Barnabas did at that time was right. In the last letter that Paul wrote, 2 Timothy, he said, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he's profitable to me for the ministry. So in time, Paul came to see that what Barnabas did was right. But let me say this, brethren and sisters, if you think of this young man's failure, if we're honest today, all of us, we've all failed. We've all failed the Lord. We've all failed in our labors for the Lord at some time or other. We all know people who have failed and made mistakes. But the question for us, as we think of what Barnabas did, the example that he sets, the question is, how have you responded to their failure? Maybe you laughed. Maybe you ridiculed them, talked about them, ran them down. How sad that is. Listen to the warning of Solomon in the book of Proverbs. He said, he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. It's not a solemn warning from the scriptures. He that is glad, if you're glad at the calamities that others fall into, the Bible warns you'll not go unpunished. So the reality is, when someone fails, they don't need someone laughing at them. What they need is someone supporting them. They need someone to help them and to encourage them. Do you remember what I told you a few weeks back when we were speaking about Dr. David Livingstone? The first time that David Livingstone preached at a service, when he got up, his memory went blank. He hadn't written anything down. He couldn't remember, and that's what he had to admit to the congregation. He couldn't remember one thing that he wanted to say. It's a wee bit like stage fright when you get up and you see the people. And he came down from the pulpit that day very, very discouraged. But Dr. Robert Moffat, who became his father-in-law, a very famous missionary to Africa, he was home on furlough at the time, and he spoke to him afterwards with these words of encouragement: don't give up. Another Barnabas, the Barnabas spirit, and Dr. Moffat there as well. Encouragement and failure. So I want to say to you, brethren and sisters, take a look around. Take a look around in your family. Take a look around the place where you work. Take a look around in the church. And if you see someone that has failed, if you see someone that has made a mistake, why not be a Barnabas to them? Encourage them. Encourage them today by your words, by your support, by your deeds. So here's Barnabas, the encourager of the New Testament church, stands out for that reason, given a name to go along with his character. Here's a man that's an excellent role model for every Christian. even now, 2,000 years later, in the 21st century. An encourager in finances, an encourager in fellowship, and an encourager to those that fell into failure. Let me finish with the words that we read to you right at the very beginning of the service. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And it says we're to exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We come together, brethren and sisters. One of the reasons why we meet here is to exhort. I want you to remember that. Often we overlook that. We come and go from the house of God and never think of encouraging each other, doing anything or saying anything to encourage the people that are around us. These are discouraging days for the Church of Christ. We're certainly under attack. Like the children of Israel in the wilderness, many are discouraged because of the way. And what is needed is to follow this man's example and exhort one another. And Paul says there, we're to do it so much the more as we see the day approaching. That's the day of Christ's return that he's referring to. And the reason why he says that is because the more time goes on, the nearer the end, the return of Christ draws near, the days are going to become more difficult. We're seeing that. We have evidence of it all around. It's going to become more and more difficult to live the Christian life, to be faithful to the Lord. There's going to be greater challenges, greater persecutions. So if there's one thing that is needed, brethren and sisters, it's not to be complainers, and it's not to be those who are murmurers, and it's not to be those that are criticizers. If there's one thing that is needed, it's to be encouragers of the Lord's people. So I want you to think of that. The example Barnabas sets here. Encourage you to be such a Christian in this church, in this community, in these days. And I want to encourage you, don't go home today without being an encouragement, without bringing a little bit of encouragement to at least one other person, at least one other believer in this church service today. So here's an excellent role model for every Christian. And I pray the Lord will bless his word to all our hearts this morning. Let me just read to you